The history of the 31st of October, 1517, is certainly becoming familiar to us this particular year, as Martin Luther stood firm on Scripture against the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. A Protestant worship began to reform back to its original form. At the heart of these changes were the Psalms of David. And the Psalms were an important aspect of Luther's worship of God. As he hid for his own safety in the Wartburg Castle, he translated the Greek New Testament into German. And as well as that, he added the Psalms to that specific work. He referred to the Book of Psalms as the Bible in miniature. During the years of Reformation, the great reformer turned continuously to the Psalms, not only to praise the God of heaven, but also for comfort and strength and encouragement. And specifically, he turned to Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Luther and his companions in the work of the Reformation, while they had a boldness and a zeal for the Lord, they did at times become downcast in the work. And they became oppressed by those who opposed the God of heaven. And in times like these, it is said that the great reformer turned to his colleague, Melanchthon, and he said, "Come, Philip, let us sing together the 46th Psalm, and let them do their worst." And they sang together that version that was penned by Luther, a paraphrase of what we have here. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. The last verse says, "And though the world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us." It has been referred to over the years as the battle hymn of the Reformation. A number of theories have arisen as to its origin. Some say that it was penned in 1527 as Luther faced one of the greatest difficulties in his life, as the Black Plague spread across Europe, and as he faced trials concerning his son's health. Others have said that it was penned around the same time of the execution of one of his colleagues. Others have said that perhaps on the way to the Diet of Worms, and that was where he penned this particular hymn. Certainly when it comes to history, and you want to mention a bit of history in a sermon, and the last thing you need is several different theories as to the origin of a particular hymn in this case. And so there are different theories, and men differ as to how this hymn came about. But whatever the circumstances were, this particular psalm was a great encouragement to the reformers and to Luther himself as he sought to serve the Lord. The psalm in particular, the opening verse, does not necessarily deal with the conquering of foes and triumph over them, but it deals here with the language of faith in times of trial. It is a psalm that consoles us. It is a psalm that comforts us. It is a psalm that encourages our faith. It is a psalm where we see the marvelous working of God being praised as he steps in and as he protects and preserves his flock of believers. There is a division within this psalm. There are three parts, each ending with the term Selah, which simply means to pause, or to think, or to meditate. Or in the days when the psalm was sung, the music was stopped, and they paused and they meditated upon the message that they had sung. And as we consider this psalm, may by the enablement of God, may we pause, may we think, may we meditate upon the great truths that we have here. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. I want us to consider Luther's psalm, or God is our refuge. We're going to deal with verse 1 down to the end of verse 3 of this particular psalm today. And we'll consider what is said here in light, perhaps, of Luther himself and some of the events within his life also. But I want you to notice, firstly, here in Psalm 46, we see our realization of trouble. Our realization of trouble. When we come to this psalm, the opening verse tells us that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And therefore, at the very commencement of this psalm, we are faced not only with the help of God and the strength of God for our needs and for our lives, but we're faced with the reality of trouble. The reality of trouble. Our lives are filled with trouble. This world is filled with trouble. And the Church of Christ ought to be filled with trouble from the perspective that they are faced with opposition from the world because of the stand and because of the truth that they proclaim. And here we have that realization that our lives are filled with trouble. Notice here the specifics of trouble. The specifics of trouble. Turn with me to Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5 and the verse 7. The Word of God says there, "Yet man is born unto trouble." Yet man is born unto trouble. And that verse certainly drives home this particular thought, that our lives are filled with trouble. Man is born unto trouble. And there is no doubt regarding the trouble found in this world. And that verse in the book of Job indicates not only trouble caused by wickedness, but also trouble in regard to sorrow and weariness and toil, all the difficulties and the afflictions of life that we face. In Psalm 46, in the verse 1, that term trouble in the original Hebrew indicates affliction and adversity and distress and anguish and tribulation. And not only distresses and caused by adversity, not only distresses caused by other parties opposing the truth of God, but also the trials and tribulations and afflictions that we bear in our lives. God is a very present help through it all. When we consider the varying types of trouble that we face, they take many different forms. They take many different forms. But as we see here, God is that present help through it all. Notice here as well the source of trouble. The source of trouble. God is a very present help in trouble. But we need to understand that yes, this trouble is real. This trouble is around us. This trouble can and does and will affect our lives. And the source of this trouble, firstly, is sin. Is sin. Sin leads us into trouble. Sin leads us into trouble. And this is seen in a twofold way. Man fell. There in Genesis chapter 3. And the fall of man is the epicenter of all trouble within this world. Whether it is sorrow or affliction, whether it is trouble caused by adversity and opposition, the fall of man is the source, the epicenter of these things. And then, of course, we have our own trespasses. We have our own sins as the result of the fall. And these things cause trouble. Of course, not all trouble is caused by our sin. We need to emphasize that. Not all trouble and trials that we face in life are caused because we ourselves have sinned against God. Sometimes we have. Sometimes we have. And it comes upon us because of ourselves. But very often, affliction and adversity can come upon us, not as a result of our sin. But sin is a source of trouble. Sin is a source of trouble. And the child of God, sinner today, you must have no doubts about this. Sin causes trouble. Sin causes strife. Sin causes problems. If you were to break the law of the land, there is trouble. There is trouble. If you were to go out onto the dual carriageway today and you were to break the law of the land in regard to the speed limit, and you saw the policeman standing at the side of the road, the camera in his hand, and as you went down the carriageway, you looked at your speedometer, and it said something like 100 or 130, depending on what car you drive. And you say, well, I'm going to do whatever speed I want. Now you can rest assured that that policeman will not let you do whatever speed you want. And if you persist and continually persist, you'll find yourself in perhaps a lot more trouble than your particular fine and penalty points as well. There will be problems as a result of the breaking of the law. And when we look at it from the spiritual perspective, if we, not only as the people of God, but as mankind in general, if we break the law of God, there are troubles, there are problems, not only in life, but in death. The Shorter Catechism asks that question, into what estate did the fall bring mankind? And the answer is given, the fall brought mankind into an estate of sin and misery. An estate of sin and misery. Question 19 asks the question, what is the misery of that estate whereinto man fell? What is the misery that has come upon man as a result of the fall and his sin and rebellion against the God of heaven? The answer is, all mankind, by their fall, lost communion with God, are under His wrath and curse, and so made liable to all the miseries of this life, all the miseries, all the troubles of this life, to death itself, and to the pains of hell forever. There is a great consequence of the fall, great consequence of sin, and that is trouble. When we look across this world and we see its problems, and we see its troubles, and we see those great tragic events that take place, God is not the author. God is not the author of those things. But the source of that trouble is the fall of man, the sin of man, the wickedness of man. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and verse 22, we read, for what hath man of all his labour, and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath laboured under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. There is also vanity. All his days are sorrows. All his days are troubles. How true that is. How true that is. When we break the law of God, not only do we face the misery of sin in this life, but we face the misery. The misery, the sin, the judgment of God for all eternity. Today you may find yourself outside of Christ, not knowing the Savior, not able to stand up and to sing with us, a mighty fortress is our God. Certainly not from the depths of your souls, because you're not of God. You cannot sing that my God is a mighty fortress, but because of sin, He's not your God. He's not the one who redeemed you, because you're in your sin. You're dead in trespasses and sins. And that sin will lead to trouble. That sin will lead to misery, not only in this life, having no fortress, having no refuge, having no strength from the God of heaven, but also in all eternity, facing the consequence of sin, facing judgment for sin. Child of God, when we look at this from a gospel perspective, God truly is our refuge. God is our refuge. Christ is our refuge. Because Christ has died for us. Christ gave Himself for us. Christ is our refuge. Sinner, outside of Christ, there is no refuge. Outside of Christ, there is no strength. Outside of Christ, there is no hope. We see here as well, not only is sin a result of this, or trouble is a result of sin, but trouble sometimes is a result of self. A result of self. Sometimes we lead ourselves into trouble and anguish, not because of outright sin, but because of our mistakes perhaps, or because of a failure to fully rest upon the God of heaven, or a failure to trust Him. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus were sad and sorrowful. And as they walked along that road, there was a man who drew alongside. And he noticed their frame of mind. He noticed that they were saddened and sorrowful. He began to ask them why. And they said, because of what had happened. The Lord Jesus Christ had died. The rumors had arisen as a regard to His body and His resurrection. And they were confused and they were disturbed and concerned and sorrowful at these things. What was the reply of that stranger? It was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ drawing alongside them. He called them fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. They hadn't truly believed. They hadn't truly understood the great message of Scripture. And very often our sorrow, very often our trouble, very often all the things we face in life can perhaps sometimes be a result of us not having that faith that we ought to have. Not truly believing the Word of God. When we come to Psalm 46, we see here that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Do we believe that? Do we truly believe what is said here? Do we believe that when we face the troubles of life, when we face the distresses and opposition that comes upon us, do we really believe as the people of God that He is our refuge, that He is our strength? That He is a very present help in trouble. This verse is a verse to be believed, child of God. It's a verse to be believed. It's a verse to be written upon our hearts. And as Luther read this, and as Luther sang this, that's what he believed when there was opposition, and when there was that hatred put upon him by those who opposed the truth of the gospel. He could say, he could sing, he could praise, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. Do we believe it? Do we believe it? If I didn't believe it, I certainly wouldn't be standing up here. Many, many servants of God throughout the centuries would not have been in those positions if they didn't believe what we have here. Would Luther, as he served the Lord, would he have accomplished all that he did if he didn't believe this particular psalm? He took it to heart. He believed it, that God was his refuge and his strength. We see here as well that trouble comes from Satan. Trouble comes from Satan. It was Job who suffered greatly. And as as Satan intervened within his life. God permitted that. God permitted that. God was still on the throne. God permitted those things to take place. But Satan is the great source of trouble in this world. Going right back to the source of trouble being sin. As Satan was the one who caused the fall of man. And if we go right back to the time of Luther, it was Satan who was causing trouble in the world and in the church. The eyes of many had been blinded for centuries. They were following a false gospel. There was widespread corruption. Why? Because of the work of Satan. We also see that we face trouble because of our stand. Because of our stand. This can be connected with a previous point as well, but it's good to consider separate. Our stand for God can cause us trouble. Our stand for God can cause us trouble. Standing for the truth of Scripture causes trouble and strife. Should that be avoided? Should we move away from that stand to avoid trouble? And the answer is no. We believe the Word of God. We believe what the Scriptures say. And we stand firm on the Word of God. It was James Wiley in his History of Protestantism who told of the reaction by Tetzel to Luther's protest against indulgences. And as Tetzel moved to new towns to assail these indulgences, the rumor of the Wittenberg theses followed him. They soon realized the great mischief in his perspective that the monk had done to his harm. He was full of rage. He kindled a fire. He wasn't able to burn Luther in that fire, but he took copies of what Luther had written and he cast it into the fire and he burned those theses. And that being done, he began to reply to Luther in counter-propositions. But it is said that they were poor affairs, outlining the supremacy of the Pope and our absolute submission to him. Some of Luther's supporters got their hands on those counter-propositions and they publicly burned them for all to see. It was an act which Luther did not overly favor, for he said that it was superfluous to kindle a pile to burn a document, the extravagance and absurdity of which alone would have affected its extinction. And so Luther faced opposition because of his stand. You may say, well, that's not real opposition as such. But that was the beginning of it. The beginning of it. And as time developed, he faced great persecution. Abler antagonists entered the arena. His life was threatened. And after the Diet of Worms, it was only through the grace of God that his life was preserved. He truly experienced that God was a mighty fortress. There were trials, and there was the opposition of preaching the truth. And if you go back to the book of Acts, we see that. Because of the stand that the church took on the gospel of Christ, they faced opposition. It's the same today. It's the same today. There is opposition against the church of Jesus Christ. There's opposition against the gospel. Notice here the strength of trouble. The strength of trouble. In verse 2 and verse 3, we see great things. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Here the psalmist paints a picture of great trouble. The water. The waters roar, the waters boil up. That's what it means. Great earth-changing events. Great earth-changing events. If the mountains were carried into the midst of the sea, if the earth was removed, it would change this world. What the psalmist is saying is that though these things might happen, we as the people of God have nothing to fear. Because God is our refuge. These things, perhaps we could say, well, the mountains moving into the midst of the sea, it's a metaphor to events within my life. It's a metaphor to my circumstances. Right now, within my life, there seems to be the removing of the earth. There seems to be the mountains being carried into the midst of the sea, the roaring of the waters. That's what it's like. Child of God, trouble can be strong. Trouble can be strong. But what does the psalmist say? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Will not we fear. The psalmist doesn't mention these events negatively. He doesn't move right in and say the earth's going to be removed. He doesn't move right in and say the waters will roar and boil and cause trouble. He says, first of all, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And as a result of that truth, as we see it from the positive perspective, the application of that, because God is our refuge, the application is we're not to fear. Though these things might happen, though these negative events take place, we as the people of God are not to fear. Notice here, secondly, the recognition in this text. Our recognition in this text. The psalmist in the opening words is reminding us that God is sufficiently able to protect His own people and that we can expect His help. He is our refuge. He is our refuge. God, firstly, here is mentioned as our shelter or our refuge. It was Charles Wesley who said, "How happy then are we who build, O Lord, on Thee. What can our foundation shock? Though the shattered earth remove, stands our city on the rock of heavenly love." God is our refuge. God is our shelter. God is our rock. And as we look at the reality of trouble, the reality of trials and opposition within our lives, God is the only shelter, the only refuge for our souls. How can He be our refuge? He is our refuge because of who He is. He is our refuge because of who He is. The great, mighty God of heaven, the Creator of this world. There in Psalm 19 it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." God made the heavens. God made the earth, the sea, all that is found around us. And child of God, He has the power and He has the ability to give us the help and the strength that we need. Our God has the power to be our shelter. He has the power to be our refuge. He has the ability to be that mighty fortress for us. We see as well that He's our strength. God is our strength. When we think of Luther at the Diet of Worms, he said those words, "Here I stand, I can do no other. May God help me." Words that were thrilling. Words that capture His strength. A strength that was God-given. He realized that he could not compromise or deny the truth of God. And so he stood firm and he said, "Here I stand. May God help me." And as he trusted in the Lord and in regard to this, his favorite psalm, God was his refuge. God was his strength. And child of God, there will be times in life when we will need the strength of God. Times to stand for Him. Times when we need to experience a strength that is far above ours. When we are weak, we are strong when God is our strength. The psalmist here writing, it's unknown what this particular situation was in light of the penning of this psalm. But certainly, looking back throughout history, looking forward, he had that assurance that God was the strength of his people. God was the strength of his people. And again, how can God be our strength? Because he has infinite power. Because he is omnipotent. Because all power and majesty belongs to him. Notice here as well, God is our succor. God is our succor, a very pleasant help, an aid in time of trouble. As Luther translated the scriptures, he was fed from above. As he went to the Diet of Worms to stand trial, he spent much time in prayer. The historical record tells us that his supplications were audible. The record tells us that he spent hours at the throne of grace in prayer before going into that diet. And as he went in, there were voices that whispered to him, voices that encouraged him. Take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. Fear not, one said. Fear not them that can kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. And as he went in and as he stood, he knew his God was with him. He knew the strength of God. He knew that God was his mighty fortress. He knew that God was his help in times of trouble. During the breaks from that session, he was heard crying unto God. He said, I am ready to lay down my life for thy truth. And though the world be filled with devils, though my body, which is still the work of thy hand, should be slain and reduced to ashes, my soul is thine. Yes, thy word is my assurance of it. My soul belongs to thee. It shall abide forever with thee. Amen. O God, help me. Amen. He knew that God was that very present help. Child of God, have we not known in days gone by the help of God? Have we not known that the Lord is that very present help in time of trouble? There's a concluding thought here for this heading. God is able to be these things to us. He has the power to be these things to us. We are unable to be our own strength. We are unable to be our own shelter. We are unable to succor ourselves. We do not trust in ourselves. We trust in the name of the God of heaven. Like Luther, may it be that we too rejoice in this psalm. That we too rejoice that God is our refuge and our strength. Notice here quickly and finally, our reliance upon these truths. There's much more could be said, but when we look at the reality of trouble, and we look at the fact that God is our refuge and strength, do these truths really impact us? Notice what verse 2 says. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. And that's a vital thought. In life, our philosophy can be filled much with fear. We can make decisions not based on logic or fact, but based on fear. We can fear various things because we don't understand them. We can fear going to new places because we don't understand the culture. We've never experienced that place. And when we go to that place, when we experience that place, well, everything changes. We can make decisions based on fear. We can fear to serve the Lord. We can fear to stand for Christ. But our philosophy in life ought not to be grounded upon fear, but on fact, or more specifically, the truth of God. That's what makes the difference. And here the psalmist, when he considered what could happen, when he considered these great earth-changing events, the mountains being carried into the midst of the sea, or perhaps the problems nationally or personally, when he considered those things, he said, therefore will not we fear. There's no need to fear. He wasn't making decisions based upon his fear of those things. His trust and his focus was upon the God of heaven. Philosophy of fear would look at the raging waters in verse 3. But a philosophy of faith will look past those raging waters. It will focus in on verse 1. God is our refuge. God is our refuge. And in other words, based on that, our reaction to trouble, our reaction to these great problems would be, well, what is the difficulty? What is this problem? It cannot destroy us. And most definitely, it cannot separate us from our refuge and from our strength. in seeking comfort and protection, we must go to God. We must rely upon Him. In his paraphrase of Psalm 130, Luther said these words, "Hope therefore in my God will I, on my deserts not founding. Upon Him shall my heart rely, all on His goodness grounding. What His true word doth promise me, my comfort shall and refuge be. That will I always wait for." His refuge, His comfort, His strength was in the God of heaven. Child of God, as we close, whether it is trouble we face like Luther, whether the enemies of God have their targets set upon us, whether it is the distresses and the anguish of life, let us rejoice in the mighty fortress that is our God. Let us look to Him. Let us gain our strength day by day from the One who can strengthen, from the One who can give us that help. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. May we be a people that have no fear of what is around us. But may we be firmly fixed upon the God of heaven, rejoicing in His goodness and grace, and praising Him for His refuge and for His strength. May the Lord bless His word this morning for His name's sake. Amen. And